Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Justin. I'll be hosting this portion of the show today. And tonight I'm pleased to be joined by Brian. Brian is our sustainability guru, you might say, and he's been heading up a number of intriguing and inspiring projects here at the monastery and has been doing kind of a regular update for us on Good News Updates about those projects and what's going on. Hey, Brian.
Howdy. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you good.
Fabulous.
So what you got for us this evening?
A couple of things. I'm very excited about catchment, so I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Can I share a little bit of just a little practice story with you that I just had getting on the call?
Absolutely.
So I just had one of those great, like, trusting lives. Because as soon as I found out I was going to be on the call, of course, I, like, set my alarm and whatnot to go off and remind me. And for somebody who loves technology, I can be spectacularly bad at it. So somehow I managed to fail to set my phone to go off. I'm looking at it. It's sitting right there. It never made a peep. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we're talking along, and I just went, "What time is it?" And just had this, like, overwhelming urge, like, I had to know the time. And sure enough, 4:45 on the dot, right?
Wow.
There's the information that I need just coming right through for me.
That's amazing.
And so that was, you know, that's just one of those great moments for me that just kind of, you know, it really is kind of structured to work if we're willing to pay attention,
yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what? You know what came up for me, Brian, is there's a larger technology available.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to have all our gadgets and stuff, but, like, you know, they're not foolproof, obviously. And but there's this other technology, and if we're present to it, then it gives us exactly what we need when we need it.
Yeah, and it's quite a powerful thing, even more powerful than gadgets, as much as I love them.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about was water and catchment.
Okay.
Because starting to get to the point where it's going to go from scorching hot and dry to cold and wet, hopefully pretty soon here.
Yeah, any day now, I'd say.
And, you know, so that's something that I've been thinking a lot about. It's just like, okay, the water's coming now. What are we going to do with it?
Uh-huh.
And the reason that's so important to me is that I think about, you know, aquifers and fossil water. I think I mentioned that on the program at one point before, but just the fact is that we tap into all of these water resources with our societies, and we think of it as just, you know, water.
Mm-hmm.
We have as much as we need all of the time, but the rate at which a lot of those water resources is replenished is a lot slower than the time scale of human life. And so, you know, you or I could probably use all the water we wanted to and never make a dent in the aquifers, but all of us together, you know, they're very big on the scale of an individual human life, but they're actually not that big on the scale of human civilization.
Of all of humans, yeah. Boy, and talk about a critical issue, too, because, you know, that's as fundamental as it gets. No water, we're in big trouble.
Absolutely. And so large portions of the world are actually facing a situation in places where there's been civilization for a very long time, where the water first are getting more and more and more depleted, and they're running up against the fact that we actually can't keep using that, you know, so they're looking, I think in Jordan, they're looking at maybe 20 or 30 years from now, there will be no fresh water available in the entire country. In China, in a lot of the agricultural regions, places where you could drill down 20 feet and have a well, you'd have to go to 100 feet or 180 feet or 200 feet now.
Wow. Boy, that's so
boring. That's a critical issue on the big scale. And so, you know, looking at it on the small scale, what does civilization look like if we're more water sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, water is actually the issue that drove me towards sustainability in general, which is the question of, you know, if we want to have fruit trees on the monastery, how can we do that in a way that's not going to use all of our solar power just pumping water?
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me looking at things like building a food forest to try to build up a more water-retaining environment and putting in, you know, swale to our water catchment system and whatnot. So that's what I'm jazzed about at the moment.
Yeah. So
and
these
I just
are ways
to talk
to,
about.
Just to kind of follow you along there. So these are ways to to naturally, without really applying a bunch of destructive technology to something, or any actually, they're natural ways of taking advantage of what already happens to increase the water that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. And so things like not having bare soil, you know, covering the soil up with either foliage or mulch, and then putting in plants that are going to shade it, are going to reduce the amount of evaporation. So we have, you know, kind of two water issues of runoff where, you know, the water just sheets off the side of the mountain and goes off somewhere else. Eventually it's going to get to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then evaporation where it rains one day and then it's sunny the next day and all that water, if it's not covered by something, it's just going to go back up into the atmosphere and
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully rain somewhere else, but ultimately may just end up in the sea that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so a big part of what we're doing is looking at ways to curb water, to keep water in place. So the catchment swale slows the water as it's moving down a hillside. So it can't just sheet off. It gets into one little trough and it sits there for a while. And then, you know, if there's a sufficient amount of rain, then maybe it'll overflow into the next trough and it'll sit there for a while. But anytime the water is forced to sit for a while, it has a chance to seep into the landscape and actually be absorbed there.
Yeah, that's neat. And these are really low-tech solutions. I'm thinking of the swales you built up on the hill by the fruit trees, and it's basically a series of curved ditches, one below the other. And so it's just as simple as it can be. It just catches the water, and like you say, slows it down, and it helps the water to stay here instead of just running off towards the ocean.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they're on contour, so the water isn't actually flowing within the ditch. It's static.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
we mulch inside of the ditch so that if the sun comes out, you know, water can move through, you know, just straw or whatever, you know, kind of local foliage we've used to mulch. Water moves through that just fine, but then the sun can't penetrate through it. And so instead of evaporating off, it stays where it is, seeps into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just in the last year, you know, just that hillside has stayed greener for longer. You know, in the spring, the vetch was just so thoroughly happy. It was clearly getting all the water that it needed.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees are having a little bit of a nicer time.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of one water retention technology. But, of course, there's all sorts of other water retention technologies. What I like to think about is, you know, trying to set up, if we're making a new building, you know, in an area where we need water, setting up a little, like a cistern.
Yeah.
The runoff from the roof of that place deposits water there so that when it's dry, we can just have water already hanging out right there.
Yeah, that's neat. I actually, just to tell a little something on me, just a couple of days ago, I didn't know we were talking about water today, but coincidentally, I set up something in my hermitage. I made a way to catch water that comes off the roof, and it's really primitive, but I've got a big drum that's been sitting out there forever, and I'm going to as it comes off and I catch it, I put it in the drum, and then it's got a little spigot at the bottom of the drum, and I can use that for cleaning and other kind of things like that around the hermitage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fantasize about putting, like, French drains around the big building at the monastery and having them go into a little cistern that can water the plants in the courtyard or something like that, you know, maybe down the road.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Are you familiar with a French drain?
I know what it is a little bit. Maybe you could describe it a little bit, though.
Well, it's kind of a really cool, simple technology. Essentially, you dig a trench, and then you put a pipe, a half pipe, in the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it on an incline so that the water will flow wherever you want it to go, and then you fill the whole thing with gravel so that at the top level, it's level all the way across, and it's only, you know, from our perspective, as people enjoying the space, it's just like, oh, there's a line of gravel there. Oh, that's interesting. But from the water's perspective, it's actually a slope. And it's traveling to a place where it can be collected and be used for some sort of useful purpose. It's a really kind of simple technology, but it's, you know, a really great way to redirect water flows. And if you have a place where water is pooling or generally being a bit of a nuisance, you know, a drainage problem, it's a pretty easy to implement solution for that sort of thing that can turn something that's a challenge into a resource that's available for you.
Yeah, that's neat. That's something I love about all of these things that you're working on is they're all very simple, aren't they? You know, most of them are things that could have been done, you know, 100 or, you know, several hundred years ago. And so they're like, it's just working directly with nature instead of against it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, you know, these are things that have been done for thousands of years. It's just that, you know, in lots of different places, people have come up with appropriate solutions, and we happen to live in a time and a place where we get to have access to a whole world of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, you know, the ethos behind something like a food forest is that, you know, we live in a time and a place where we actually can select from the entire world's plants to build systems where every niche is occupied by something that makes life more pleasant for human beings, and then that allows us to stop fighting nature quite so much.
Yeah, and we also get to harvest all of the technology that people have been using for thousands of years and all the ideas that are out there, because it's all available to us right now on the Internet, I imagine. So we can just, you can poke around and you can find out, you know, all the different ways, you know, people have solved this particular problem that we're looking at, or particular opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. And just another, you know, kind of life offering opportunities and whatnot. I've been looking at a way to be at the monastery more often and have, you know, get a little bit more done when I'm up there and whatnot. And I actually, a friend of mine just happened to offer, like, hey, you know, I could give you a ride up there if you like and whatnot.
Wow.
So, you know, as soon as I started looking around for it, then it became available to
me. And there it was. Yeah,
just like the
4:45 alarm that went off today.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, you know, just at the time when it's like, all right, now I really want, you know, it's going to get wet soon. I really want to work on catchment systems. I need to get up there. I need to, you know, and then it's available.
And then it is there, yeah.
Start asking.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Brian. And I know you're actually on your way up here very soon, so we'll have the pleasure of seeing you on the property and get to see what you do.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'll be up there on Thursday.
All right. Excellent. Well, and thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us this evening, Brian, and just and sharing with us all the neat things that are going on in the sustainability world.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Take care.
Cheers, you too.
Okay, Michael, over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Really well.
Right.
I love that conversation, and so the wheels are turning here. You know, it's putting in those water catchment little plans, and then now that our photovoltaic system is so good, we actually have the ability to pump water using the photovoltaic system to wherever we need it on the property, which is something we didn't have previously. So as with the 4:45 alarm and the person who turns up who'd love to give a ride, you know, it just all comes together in an amazing, miraculous sort of a way. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm glad to be here. And I was chuckling when Brian was talking about the 4:45 internal alarm, because I had one of those experiences a month or two ago on a practice phone call that I was just about to miss, and then the information came in.
Isn't it just the best? I so appreciate that. It's just,
oh, my goodness.
And to realize that that's something that we can cultivate. You know, it sometimes feels to us like it's a random happening. But, of course, the more we pay attention, the more we realize it's there all the time, just saying this, that, don't forget that, remember that, this, what time is it? Yeah. Or cared for.
Yes, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I have some announcements here.
Good.
You will be at Integral Yoga San Francisco this Saturday.
Well.
Talking about your new book about transcending resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time to sign up for the email class starting this Friday, Everything is the Buddha.
Yes. Yeah, it looked a little iffy there for a while, like maybe it wasn't going to happen, but I think people were just, you know, there's a lot going on in practice, as in the rest of the world. I think people just had not realized that we were coming down to the wire. So it looks like we're in good shape. And it's going to go forward, but now people still, you know, sign up. But it is gonna go forward. So thank you, everybody, who hopped on that.
Oh, great. Great. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events. As a reminder, our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406, and then you'd enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder, five-minute conversation, please, and one topic. So let's get going.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jodine.
Hey, Jodine, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, very well.
Excellent.
I was thinking of all the practice that I've been doing lately, and like kind of a checklist in my mind. And I think I could be a practice poster child for the month of October.
Good.
And I'm in a good place because of it.
Now wait, Jodine. We can't just run right over that sentence. Okay, we just can't. So you're a poster child for practice for the month of October, and you're really in a really good place because of it.
Yep.
You know, we have to underline that. I was actually doing something this morning, but what if it doesn't matter? And I was looking at, as I often do, the ways in which I could possibly encourage people more toward practice. And not even in a being involved or participating sort of way, although we always love that. But, of course, the passion of my life at this point is recording and listening and being thoroughly convinced that it can take a person from suffering to freedom, happiness, well-being, whatever, if they would just do it. And so anytime somebody makes a statement like the one you made, I want to underline it several times in bright red because it's really critical that we get it, that it really is true. What we practice is what we have. And when we turn our attention to practice, to being present to life as it is, regardless of the difficulty of our life circumstances, well-being is ours.
Mm-hmm.
I know you agree.
I so agree. And if anybody isn't quite there yet, I should point the way to the miracle or the magic of the archives from last year. So one of the things that happened recently with me was, because I'm in the Zen Awareness Coaching Program, my coach had helped me identify a process that was happening where I was feeling really free from suffering and free from conditioning and the voices for kind of big periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was seeing then was that I could watch conditioning scramble, you know, in
uh-huh.
that very dangerous situation for it.
Yeah.
And so I just happened to be listening to some old archives, and sometimes what I do is I listen to the shows from a year ago. Like, I don't know where to pick a show from the
mm-hmm.
archives, so I just go to exactly a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And around this time last year, there was a special show devoted to recording and listening. Remember?
I don't.
Oh, you don't have to remember.
I don't. And it was a year ago when?
Well, it started on October 16th last year.
Oh, okay. Great. I'll
And people were talking about instead of recording reassurances, to record encouragements for the person who wants to practice.
And then
like two weeks later, there was a show devoted just to recording and listening and what people were doing with it. And number one, on that first show, somebody called in who was doing the exact same process that, or looking at the exact same process with you that my coach and I had been looking at, of these, like, what I ended up calling sneak attacks, like how conditioning tries to sneak in the back door when you're feeling good and relaxed and happy. And so I'm working on the guidance that you gave the caller, which was to just watch it and watch it and watch it. And every time you see one, record it and then say what you want to remember when it comes at you with that again. And then the other thing, which was in the 2 weeks later show, was somebody said, I have millions of recordings and I don't know what to do with them. And the guidance was to put them on shuffle. Like, you know, put them all together and just put them on shuffle. So they pop up, you know, randomly. And I mean, I was just like, yes, that's the solution to my problem. So I put together a playlist like that. And what I decided to do, because I'm into my third Zen awareness coaching block, I put my daily check-ins with the mentor. I put all of those from 6 weeks on one playlist, and I can shuffle that. And then the next 6 weeks. And then another playlist that I made that I love is I put the 6 weekly calls with my coach, and then because I've been calling the show every month, I intersperse that with my calls to the show. And so I have 6 weeks of kind of my, you know, what I was up to and how I was doing, and then some guidance in there.
That's a great plan, and I think it's a great plan because it's essentially how I do it. My recordings are very much like, I think, like people keep journals, except I listen to them all the time, and I think often people don't read their journals. They do the same kind of thing. So I talk about just what's going on with me. What's going on with me physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. What I'm looking at, insights that I've had, things that I've been really inspired by. If there's something that I'm working on, it's a reminder about that. If the something sneaks in and tries to start a conversation about all of those things, and then I listen to them all. So I'm now 2 years ago listening to my recordings from 2 years ago. And I just listen through, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's that again. Ah, okay, right, that's good. And it just keeps it fresh, everything that conditioning is doing, fresh in your awareness, right?
And, you know how you'll have, like, or my experience sometimes is there could be something big, and then I have a blank there. Like, I just forgot about it. And then I'll listen to that, and it's like, wow. And another thing I'm finding is when I check in with the mentor every day, sometimes little things like that happen during the day, like little awarenesses that would have just been lost, somebody brings it up. Or the mentor says, I noticed that you sidestepped conditioning at your lunch break today. Bravo. And I'm like, I did? And I did, you know. I just kind of, you know, it just kind of slipped away. So
And that's the best part to me, the best part of recording and listening is that those insights and awarenesses do not slip away. stay
yeah.
in the front of our conscious awareness where we need to have them. And plus, again, to me, the best part of all of recording and listening is spending one's life in a conversation with nice people who like us instead of risking out there, being out there in conditioned mind land where there are all kinds of influences that actually don't like us and don't wish us well. Well, thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to be at the monastery at the Rest and Be Thankful retreat this weekend. That I can't wait.
Oh, good for you. Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Yeah, it's beautiful right now. You're gonna like it.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jodine.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judith from up in the northwest corner of California.
Well, hello, Judith. How are you doing?
I am doing great, especially since I was able to get myself to call in. In defiance of conditioned voices, I've been having a huge breakthrough back into practice after many years of sort of having one foot in. And
good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of a lifesaver. And I was on the website and happened on the video workshop.
From the first of the year?
Yes,
uh-huh.
And I tell you, it was transformative.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I listened to the first one, hour and a half, and then later in the day, I couldn't wait to come back and listen to the other half. And I was lifted up.
Oh, good.
And I immediately made a plan to sign up for everything I could, so that I wouldn't get snatched back again.
Yeah.
And, so I signed up for Reflective Listening Buddies and the email class. I'm very glad to hear that that's going ahead. And then awareness coaching.
Good.
And
good.
I have a poster board up on the walls to do process mapping, and I'm working my way through the What You Practice book. And that's where I have a real big obstacle. I did for the last 2 years, and I think that's what I'm going to try to get help with from the awareness coach.
What's the obstacle? Do you feel like saying?
What is the obstacle? It was like stupid dust. I mean, great quantities of it. I mean, using the recorder was a huge obstacle, and I would read the manual that came with it, you know, and I couldn't make sense out of it. And then a few days went by after this breakthrough happened, and I thought, you've used many of these manuals before with products that you bought, and you just have to read all the way through it. And so I never was able to set the date or time, but I thought, just go on. And so I did, and I was able to use it, and I recorded some stuff.
Good.
But,
and, you know, I have discovered that that date and time is irrelevant.
I figured it would be.
I know what the date and time is.
It's not the most important thing.
No. The record and listen. That's the
exactly.
That's the important thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the resistance is coming back. And I have the resistance book, too. But I went all the way through. So I leafed through the end of the book. I see there's a little workshop to actually get you started.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's the thing: you don't feel alone in that what you're struggling with, because I haven't encountered anything that brought up this kind of resistance in practice. It's amazing, and I don't know if you've heard me say this. I say it every chance I get. That I am convinced it's because egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate knows that once
so
somebody starts, Yeah, once somebody starts doing this, it stays. Its ability to control a human being and make them miserable are numbered.
Greatly undermined. Yeah, I had that feeling, you know, even while I was resisting. I thought this mm-hmm. is probably, I mean, they would say this is conditioning, trying to stop me because it's going to make such a difference.
Yeah, because here's the, you know, of course, we look at this all the time, but it still remains an interesting / amazing. Why would anything put up that kind of resistance if it weren't going to produce good results for the one who wants to do it?
Yeah.
It's just, once we catch on to that, then anything resistance really goes after, we just know it's golden for us.
Yeah.
Because if it serves conditioning, you know, it's completely supportive, and yeah, eat that chocolate cake and have that bottle of wine with it. no problem whatsoever. But
yeah.
Anything that takes care of the human is just crazy.
Yeah, so the resistance is just a big green light.
Exactly. That's, if you want to know if you're going in the right direction, look for the resistance. Yeah, and just follow that resistance and do exactly the opposite of everything that it says. Go ahead.
Instead, you know, I believe it's coming from me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the tricky part. It is coming from, little quote marks in the sky, me. It is coming from ego identity. And that's, of course, the hardest part of spiritual practice, as you no doubt know, is realizing that me, who is so resistant, is not the authentic me. It's ego, I, having taken over the human being. And we can, you know, once we start catching on to it, it's so clear. You know, I feel great. I'm happy. I'm open. I'm optimistic. The world seems like a lovely thing. I'm smiling at the clouds. And then, boom, I'm in this dark hole, and I hate everybody, and everything is awful, and it's all too hard. Like, huh. if we can catch on that one smiling at the clouds is the authentic human being having an authentic life experience, and that one who hates everything and everyone is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate sucking the life force out of a perfectly fine human being. Once we get that, then we start looking for, okay, how's the world, you know, you said process mapping, this is good, because how does the world look right now? Well, it's scary and miserable and, okay, I'm identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's what's going on with it. Because when I'm identified with life, I feel good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those recordings, and listening to those recordings, really help us stay tuned into that and on top of it. Because we can listen. We can listen to the difference. Right?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I want to record something for me to turn on first thing every morning when I get up.
There you go.
And set the tone.
Yeah.
And last thing,
maybe a little song, a little morning song.
A little song, that sounds
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, some I love yous, and I can't wait to spend the day with you.
Exactly.
And all those kinds of things, yeah.
I've been trying to do that in my head, but it's just so different doing it out loud.
Yep, got to hear that voice. Got to hear that voice of that person who loves you unconditionally and whose voice you can trust.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What makes the difference.
And the reflective listening buddies, another huge vote of confidence there.
Yeah.
There's just so many opportunities available from a distance, and I'm right now my health is such that I can't participate in anything that I was doing locally with a Zen group here. And then I'm going, well, but Loving Compassion has, you know,
tons of stuff.
Half a dozen things or dozens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that a year-long retreat going to happen again? By the way.
I don't know. We have our strategic planning coming up the first part of November, and that's when we'll all get together and decide what we're going to focus on and what we're going to offer and that sort of thing.
Really hope so.
Yeah, and then we'll announce it. But the thing that you mentioned early on, that video workshop, is going to happen. again this year. I think it's the 20th of January.
Well, so that'll
something
happen
like that.
Whether or not there's a retreat.
Yes.
That workshop was related to the year-long retreat.
Yeah. We'll kick off the year with that and invite the whole Sangha to join in. And then we'll announce, and maybe we'll announce some of it before. We're coming up with new things to focus on, because if we don't, then karmic conditioning, slides in there and takes over. So we got to keep our awareness practice lively and interesting
fresh.
And exciting, fresh. Yeah.
Oh well, I am so grateful, and it's so good to talk to you.
Good to hear
and
your
I'll
voice.
I'll let you go on to the next caller.
All right. Take good care. Don't
All
be
right.
a stranger.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Bridget from Virginia. How are you?
Hi.
Good. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. And this is my second time calling, and last time, Sherry, you were, I don't know where you were, but it was Justin and Michael that I got to talk with.
I was going to say, I don't remember speaking with you before, so I thought you were going to say, this is my first time calling, but you got those other people before. So
I did.
That's good.
I did, and we had a great time.
Excellent.
Yes.
So what's going on now?
Well, so I was calling because I have, well, for me anyway, such a great practice works kind of story. And
I love those.
I think we always, I hear on the show and can feel it myself that a lot of times, practice is easy when things are great and everything, the voices tell you everything's perfect and so it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you really need it the most, it seems like, the voice, well, for me anyway, the voices come in and then they beat you up because you let the practice go and you weren't aware and why didn't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a really good, had a difficult experience, and really before I even realized it, I was practicing and I was aware and didn't really realize it until halfway through kind of a very difficult trip and vacation, and all of a sudden realized you're taking care of yourself and you're looking to the mentor who is taking care of you when you feel
wow.
a little bit flustered.
Wow. Isn't
and
that good?
It was really amazing for me. It was, to say enlightening is probably the closest I can come to putting a word label on it, but
uh-huh.
it was like, aha.
That
so that's what
great.
This looks like.
Yeah, and the beautiful part, the components for me that are so wonderful, one, you weren't trying to do anything. It was just that the work that you had done paid off when you needed it.
Yeah, that could not be, you said it perfectly. That was exactly correct. I was on a trip that had been planned and with another person, and we showed up, and she ended up being kind of difficult to be with and wasn't having a lot of fun, and we were in a great place, and it would have been very easy to sort of let it ruin my experience and the voices mm-hmm. pulling to say, well, you know, what are you doing wrong, and how did you contribute to this? And without even knowing it, you know, the mentor was stepping in and I was taking care of myself and saying, no, you know, that's her experience, but what are you going to do? Let's go have fun. And what do you want your experience to be? And let's go do that. And that's what I did.
Wow. That is fabulous.
It was great. I was so excited to actually to call back in and share it because, you know, it happens and you just get so excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Because, of course, the voices are constantly attempting to tell us that it's not working and that we don't get it. And, you know, your life isn't any different. And why don't you just give up? And why don't you just quit? And that sort of thing. It reminds me years ago, well, not that many years ago, but a few years ago, that there was a fire up near where we live in the mountains. And a friend asked if I would go with her to get some of the things out of her house before the whole area was evacuated completely. And it wasn't possible to drive in because the roads were closed. And so we jogged in. We jogged in and we gathered up the stuff that she wanted, and then we jogged back out again. And she said, isn't it great when being physically fit pays off in practical ways?
Yeah.
And that to me, that's just like what you just described. You know, to be spiritually fit. So
yeah.
That when you need that fitness to come through for you, it's just there. And in that same way, you know, you don't want to try to get physically fit when you're doing something that, you know, is challenging, difficult, or you're in a situation where maybe even your life depends on being fit enough to be able to take care of yourself. In the same way, we don't want to wait to become spiritually fit until we're in miserable circumstances, because as you've indicated, when it doesn't go well, the fault is not going to rest with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It's going to be quick to point the finger at us and blame us for not having practiced in a way that there was aid available to us when we needed it.
Yes, yes. And that's, you know, one thing that I love so much is that it's practice. That's the perfect word for it. You know, you practice.
Yes.
You practice for the time when you need it.
Exactly.
You know, you don't learn when you need to use it, like you just said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and
yes.
One thing.
And so you said something else that I want to underline because it's important. So it's easy to practice in the good times, right?
Yeah.
Practice is really fun when there's nothing going on. We're living in our gratitude list. We're listening to recordings about how great life is and how happy we are with what's going on and how much we love everything and this is beautiful and that's gorgeous and here are the insights and the poetry and the music and all of the things that we love, and we live in that when times are good. And that's what we're going to live in when times aren't good, because that's what we have trained ourselves. That's what we've practiced to experience.
Yes, exactly. And one more thing I'll share, and then I'll give someone else a turn, is that what I found interesting was I made it through this tumultuous trip and actually came out of it and had a grand time myself. And now that I'm home, and you know, the trip is over and back to normal, you know, job and chores and everything else, what I've noticed and what I find so interesting is dropping in is the, you know, what I'll put in quotes, reflecting on things from the trip and saying, well, maybe you should have done something differently. But you're saying that you took care of yourself, but really that's just how things unfolded. It wasn't anything that you actually had a hand in.
It's evil, isn't it?
It is evil.
Yeah.
And
you have those other perspectives to turn your attention to and still listen to that dribble.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say is the wonderful thing is that I noticed that when it happened, it's been very easy for me to actually reflect. Yes, I'll reflect. And here are all the ways that I took care of myself and made it such a great trip for myself.
And then it doesn't want to talk about the trip anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. It either picks up or it moves on to something else.
Right. Let's change the subject.
Yes.
Well, that's great. I am so very, very happy for you. And,
well, thank you.
Thanks for letting us all hear that story because it's inspiring.
Absolutely. Thank you so much and have a great night.
All right. You too. Good night.
All right. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Bridget. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll come back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Sandy.
Oh.
Hey, Sandy. Hi. I got all excited. It's so much fun when you finally get through.
Uh-huh.
So this is Sandy from Florida. And Sherry, I made a promise to you at the resistance retreat to call you and tell you how I was doing with my resistance retreat commitment.
Very good. Very good. I'm excited to hear.
Well, I'd like to share my commitment because I feel like that will even solidify it more for me, saying it out loud to all of you in Sangha. And so at the end of those days, I wrote, I have come to the awareness that I am choosing something over ending suffering. I will end trying to lose weight and love myself more than food.
Mm.
It's been an amazing journey. Overall, I would have to say I'm winning. I'm down 17 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I feel great. Been eating all vegetarian foods, mostly beans and vegetables, wonderful soups and wonderful salads, and it's been an adventure finding recipes. And then do you recall when you had the practice cards that you sold? They were Sherry practice cards, and probably 3 years ago now I've had them, but they came with a little holder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So when I got home from the resistance retreat, I went through my notes of the retreat notes and made myself a set of anti-resistant cards. And so I flipped my cards every day to remind myself of all of those wonderful things that came up during the Transcending Resistance Retreat. So I'm not saying it's been easy. There have been times, and I think that's the whole difference. I've really struggled with losing weight, and I'm really not looking for a Barbie kind of answer here. I'm looking to find a compassionate way to be a healthier person.
Yes.
And
getting
a little older now, and so carrying the extra weight has meant a couple of pill prescriptions from the doctor and some arthritic feet. And so I'm really looking for a healthier me. And I'm actually this time not looking to the 900 different diets out there. And although I think the most fun one was wine and cheese diet. That was a real unique one. I didn't remember losing any weight on it, but I've tried them all was the point I was making. So anyway, this time I'm using a Zen coach, and all of the practice opportunities I can get all lined up for myself. And I've written a love letter to myself that I listen to daily on my record and listen. And it's just, I'm really grateful for the Transcending Resistance.
Great. I am so happy. I will tell you that I've thought about you several times lately, so I'm very glad that you called.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I don't think it gives away too much about the retreat, but one of the conversations we had, not specifically the two of us, but on that retreat, was about how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate uses stress as a way to get people to do things that aren't good for them. I'm stressful and in my nervousness and anxiety and that sort of thing, I eat too much or, I drink too much or whatever it is that the voices will tell me will help me to be calmer or feel better or whatever it is. And what we talked about on the retreat was only doing those things when we're not stressful. Because if the system gets set up that every time I'm stressful, the way I handle, little fingers in the air, handle that stress is to eat something that's not good for me or drink something that's not good for me, then I'm going to be stressful all the time because that's how I get to do those things that it now has me addicted to. So if I can only do those things, if I have my follow my wine and cheese diet when I'm not stressful, when I'm really calm and relaxed and centered, or I only have something that's sweet, or I only have whatever it is, when I'm relaxed and calm and centered, it's a whole different relationship with health and well-being.
You couldn't have spoken truer words. You know, one of the other things that was really monumental for me was the word trying. You know, I've spent my entire life, for my adult life anyway, trying to lose weight. And, is it okay to share your trying?
Yeah.
Would you share it, please? It was outstanding.
Yeah. So somebody said, I'm trying to do this thing. And it's actually, I think, an old Werner Erhard. You might be old enough to remember Werner Erhard and Est. I think it was his thing. Where I simply said to the person, okay, would you try to stand up? And she stood up, and I said, no, you stood up. I asked you to try to stand up. And it's such a great experience of, well, there's no such thing. You're either standing up or you're sitting down, but there's no trying. That's just a mental mess in there that we stumble and trip over.
Well, conditioning was totally exposed, busted at that moment of the retreat. I just went, whoa. You know, I spent all these years trying, and there's no such thing as trying. So it was such an amazing moment. It just was pretty darn incredible. And so You know, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I love myself just the way I am, and I will help myself to be any way I want to be.
That's right, because you want to live as long as you can possibly live, be as healthy and active as you can possibly be, enjoy everything as much as you can, and the way for us to do that is to take good care of ourselves. And so that's what it is. It has nothing to do, actually, with losing weight. Will you lose weight? Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will. And that'll be good for those feet and ankles and any blood pressure issues or any of those kinds of things that happen to us as we get older. It has nothing to do, as you say, with getting a Barbie body. It might have earlier, which is unfortunate because that's what sets up so many women, especially, I mean, I know men have their own weight issues, but they're not going for the Barbie body. So it gets put in there as kind of a, as they say in the mystery world, a red herring. It's just something that catches the attention and gets a person focused in a way that's going to guarantee failure. And so this approach to, I want to be healthy and fit and happy, there's nothing to argue with about that.
Absolutely nothing. And then going at it from not hanging on by my fingernails, but using the compassion in practice is just the most beautiful way to do it, because I don't ever fail. I have times when I need to recommit, but
yes.
I'm not a failure ever.
Yeah, and you're not deprived because
I'm not. Yeah, that was the most shocking thing going, you know, because that usually was what ended one of all of those many, many, many diets I ever was on. The deprivation was what would bring the diet to a skidding halt. I would just be one time. I lost 70 pounds and kept it off for 7 years by eating no caffeine, no salt, and no sugar products.
Wow.
But I hung on by my fingernails for 7 years, and
wow,
it was really quite amazing. And I felt so deprived that once I didn't hang on anymore, it was all over again. And I felt terrible about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, so now you've added the ingredient that makes all the difference, and that's unconditional love.
Yeah, and thank heavens you're there with practice so that we can do that.
thank heavens we're all here, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm so glad that you were in tonight so I could do my reporting to you.
I am so glad, too. Thank you, Sandy.
And thank
Good
you.
Night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air. Great to hear all these practice work stories, Sherry.
Whew, it's good, isn't it?
It's good.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And we have more callers.
Perfect.
Come on, computer. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Dakota.
Hi.
Hey, Dakota.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. You know, I can definitely attest to that. Practice works. I know in my experience, when I am really engaged and participating and taking advantage of all the practice opportunities, it's not just that I feel lit up and full of well-being and alive and connected. There's also this sense of just like wildly excited about unlimited possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the voices just paint this human into this little tiny box. And when I'm outside of that conditioned system, just the in every moment, the infinite array of possibilities. It's just like, it makes you want to dance down the street.
Yes, yeah, that's such a good point. I happen to know you were on retreat last week, and I happen to know that we talked a little bit about that notion that once we, and you're there, so I'll just say, I'll just tell you what you just said, okay? Once a person realizes that the only thing keeping life small is karmic conditioning, right? Now, karmic conditioning says, oh, no, don't do practice, because then you live in deprivation. You won't be able to do any of these things. Your life will be really small, and you'll be miserable. And, of course, exactly the opposite. And when we get that and we step out of that little tiny box it wants to put us in and see those possibilities and get it, that you can be anything, do anything, have anything, go anywhere that you want to because you're free, it's just, it's the best, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is the best. And it just makes you want to just lean into practice that much more, you know, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
I have a specific issue that I'd love to just mention and then seek a little guidance on.
Okay.
So I'm experiencing a little bit of backlash, a little bit of resistance from the, maybe in response to that hugely heart-opening week we just spent, in the form of a more intense case of tinnitus, ringing in the ears, that kind of appeared out of nowhere sometime about a year ago.
Huh.
And yeah, it's this really wild thing. So like last year I was there at the monastery as a visiting monk and just doing my thing. And one day in sitting meditation, out of the blue, just like this really wild, kind of intense ringing sensation just appeared. And then has never gone away since. At first I was, I kind of went through all these like, well, I wonder what that's all about and what causes it. And I had all these, I kind of went to conditioned mind for information about it. And it had this story about what caused it, you know, the loud chainsaw noises that I've used or surfing in cold water and this and that. And I decided rather than just take its word for it, I would go see an ear specialist about it and find out. I got some really interesting information. I had my ears checked and tested, and I found out that, in fact, there is nothing wrong with the ears. There's no hearing damage whatsoever. And I asked, well, then what's with the buzzing? What's with the tinnitus? And the doctor said, it actually doesn't have to do with the ears. It has something to do with the brain. There's a bazillion different things that can cause it. We don't know a whole lot about it, but there is some research that points to the fact that when we are stressed out or depressed or carrying a lot of tension, that exacerbates it or can create it, and that when we're living a happy, full kind of life, it tends to lessen or just go away entirely.
Wow.
I don't have any kind of answers. I'm taking it on as kind of like this a fun little spiritual practice of just what is this? What is happening and how to work with it. But one thing that is kind of dropping in as a possibility is that it may be some sort of tension-related, stress-related kind of egocentric karmic conditioning resistance.
And Cody, do you feel like you're tense or stressful or that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just really wild thing of like all at once. I mean, I guess maybe it's back and forth quickly, but there is like huge heart opening, connected, lit up, and this really intense kind of stress tension that I experience a lot in my jaw, actually.
Yeah, well, then it sounds like you're probably right on track, right? There's the heart opening, and then the way it clamps back down, literally, is to clamp down jaw and tension. Do you feel it in your third chakra at all, solar plexus?
Yeah. I think when it's so locked up in the jaw and the tinnitus, there's less awareness of that. But when that relaxes, yeah, I notice it there too. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you grind your teeth?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And so, has the dentist done anything for that to help you not do that when you sleep or any of that sort of thing?
No. No, I mean, I've had a fair amount of dental work done.
Because they do offer that,
you know,
things that you can have in your mouth at night so that you can't grind your teeth. You know, our yoga teacher now would say, I don't know if you've ever been in the classes with her when she talks about how you relax your jaw. And, you get almost to the point where you could be drooling. And to practice just allowing the jaw to relax like that, which would be a great mindfulness practice, right? Because, it's like dropping the shoulders, if you carry tension there. But to learn to keep your attention close enough at hand that you can know when your jaw tightens and you can develop the habit of relaxing the jaw. Might be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it makes total sense, doesn't it? I mean, you're doing that, the tension is there in your jaw and there's ringing in your, I mean, they're awfully close, really.
They sure are, yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I kind of got a hunch. That's a good place to look.
And
I like what you said. It's a great mindfulness practice because often what happens is I'm going along, maybe a little more unconscious than conscious. And then I kind of wake up with my jaw just clenched tight. And then and then I work with it. Maybe I'll listen to some recordings or maybe I've been practicing with some like acupressure and jaw massage, and that does help. But I think what you're pointing at is staying there, and watching as it right when the tension begins, even.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Because the way you're describing it, it kind of sounds like it hides out. So you can you do those things, the acupressure, the massage or that sort of thing, and then you go unconscious and whoop, it's right back in there again. And as you say, it sounds like that the tightness in the jaw might actually be bringing you back to conscious awareness, but the damage has already been done. So to stay with it, to practice staying with it, it'll up your practice and I suspect be a great kindness to the human and maybe see the dentist so that it doesn't have the ability to do that to you all night long. Because so much happens with us with conditioning all night long when we're not there even to, be aware that it's going on. We don't even have a chance of coming to conscious awareness. It's just rolling.
Yep. That's great. Thank you very much. Those are good places to look. And I'm gonna play with it and watch. And this really does seem like a great practice opportunity.
You got two things going. One, the ringing in your ears. That's going to bring some conscious awareness. And then the feeling in the jaw. That's going to bring some. So, And maybe just a little reminder every time you come back that this is a terrible thing to have happen to a human being, and you'd like it not to continue much longer. Add the element of saving the person from that level of suffering.
Yeah. Yep. I like
okay.
that.
Let
well,
me
thanks,
know.
Jerry.
Oh,
I will.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Another great show.
Yeah. People out there just doing great practice, huh?
Yeah, so courageous.
You know, I know we're out of time, but we were talking early on with Judith, and of course everybody we talk to is all over the country, so it's not so very rarely do we get to talk to somebody who's right next door. But as you know, during the bridge walk, we had that great conversation with the woman who was doing, it's housebound, and was doing her bridge walk fundraiser walking
yeah.
to her mailbox.
Yeah.
And I've just found that so inspiring, that no matter where a person is, on the other side of the world or trapped inside their house or trapped is not a good word, but required to, you know, not get out and about as much as they would certainly like, practice is still available. And the sport of Sangha is still there for all of us, wherever we are, whatever is going on, if we just stay in touch. So
yes, and blessedly our practice has so many opportunities to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And you're one of them, Michael, so thank you.
Thank you
for being there doing that computer magic week after week after week.
It's
such
a great
much appreciated.
Privilege. Yes, you're welcome.
All right, so next week?
All right, talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Michael. Good
thank
night.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.